Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and this is going to be a fun 30 minutes or so because I've got one of my favorite Arkansans, Kat Robinson, here, and we're talking about, anybody who knows me, one of my favorite subjects, and that's food, barbecue to be exact, today.
Oh, yes.
Kat and I can talk about all kinds of food and all kinds of Arkansas things, and I can assure you 30 minutes is going to go fast, but it's going to be fun. Thank you so much for coming in and joining me today.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Rex. This is something that I'm really digging into in both the literal and figurative sense.
Let's talk the literal first.
Yes.
Kat's book, I've written a couple of columns on it, recently released, The Arkansas Barbecue Traveler.
Yeah.
Kat literally went to more than 400 places, not just brick-and-mortar restaurants, but food trucks, pop-ups, you name it. If they served barbecue, she was there. I want to tell you, I stand in awe that you found that many places serving barbecue.
You're likely standing in better health, I swear. This book liked to kill me, I tell you what. You think people talk about cholesterol and they talk about grease, and these are two things that normally come with barbecue. But what really killed me about it is going place to place to place to place to place, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 restaurants every day, is the smoke.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the taste of smoke out of my mouth for days on end after this. Because if you come down to the definition of Arkansas barbecue in all its many styles, the only things that you can really say is that Arkansas barbecue is wood, smoked meats, low and slow.
That's it. Low and slow. Absolutely.
Somewhere 220 degrees or below. Usually,
and that smoky taste kind of infused your whole body, I would think, after
it does.
Barbecue. Yeah.
I mean, you get to a point you can taste the different woods. You can smell it. You can, you know, you might get something that's delivered to you that's 6 hours old, and you're still going, okay, I can tell you how long that was on and what kind of wood it was used and whether or not it was a pellet or a stick burner. It's been an adventure. It's been a very different adventure from my previous efforts. I mean, I'm probably best known for the 3 books I've done on pie.
Pie comes
in so many variations. Barbecue, on the other hand, in almost every instance in Arkansas, is smoked meat. So though I did find a couple of examples of people smoking other things that are really becoming popular. So it's we're in the middle of a barbecue revolution.
We really are. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
How? Because there were places, and you know I travel the state all the time. I've got a great job because I just travel the back roads and write columns. But boy, you found places I've never heard of. I did a whole column places I wanted to try, such as the place you can have your car detailed while you're eating barbecue. But was it a combination of word of mouth? Were there just places you drove up on all of a sudden that you didn't know that was there? How did it all come together to find this many places?
I did a lot of following my nose and a lot of early in the morning driving.
Mm-hmm.
Because when, you know, we get barbecue, you're used to barbecue in most instances outside of places like the esteemed Jones Barbecue Diner.
Yeah, got to get there before 10 a.m.
You got to get there before 10. But most of these places that serve barbecue starting at lunch are smoking barbecue at 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You really get to smelling it about midnight. In some cases, there were communities I drove through and I would smell something coming back from doing another story. I got to go check that out. And didn't bang on any doors at midnight. I'm a bit smarter than that.
Yeah, but you would see smoke.
Yeah. I smelled smoke going down the road. I did receive a lot of recommendations, but a good portion of this was simply driving to places and expanding the view of what a barbecue restaurant might be listed under. While barbecue restaurants in general, barbecue, BAR-B-Q, BBQ, soul food restaurants, though. Almost all the soul food restaurants that I encountered had some form of barbecue on the menu, and being able to go into these communities and sitting down and enjoying what they had to offer and developing a fondness for, of all things, smoked turkey necks on
tree. Wow.
That was like,
that
it was
sound good.
Eye-opening of what could be done with barbecue. And then, yeah, not just the word of mouth, but the restaurants themselves. As the word got out about what I was doing, I had one purveyor after another contact me and says, hey, how come you haven't been here? And about half the time, I'm like, well, here's some pictures of what I took whenever I was there before, but I'm happy to come back. I did about 6 months just of scouting before I actually started on the interview section of this book. I wanted to get a genuine idea of what it was that people were seeing in these restaurants, you know, and I decided with the traveler, and there's more to that story too, because this is more than one book, but with the traveler, I wanted to make sure that I included everybody that was serving quality Arkansas barbecue.
Right.
And I didn't expect it to be nearly 400. And it was actually 403 the week before I took this to press, but I had four restaurants that closed, including all places, Couches in Truman and the Rivertown Barbecue in Ozark, two of our most established barbecue restaurants that just decided to pack up shop. In fact, with Couches, I still don't know why they decided to quit. They literally sent a message out and said, last night was our last night. We aren't doing it. Rivertown at least gave folks one more weekend. But that's the restaurant business.
It is. It is. You know, as you find more than 400 places, they're not all going to be quote unquote barbecue restaurants. One of your previous books, and it's going to go in my car now along with the Barbecue Traveler, of course, was the great dairy bars across the state.
Yes.
And you know, some of the best barbecue sandwiches I've ever had, and I'm sure you would say the same, are at dairy bars.
I was actually at the Bulldog Restaurant having my strawberry shortcake this weekend, and one of my traveling companions had a full plate of barbecue. And this time, this companion was actually from California, just recently located here, and was surprised at the diversity of the of what was on the menu at this dairy bar. You go into the Bulldog, and there's a standard menu over the window, and then there's one to your right that's got the salads and the nachos and stuff, and there's one to your left that talks about all the ice cream.
Right.
And if you pull up the menu online, there's about twice as many. I mean, they aim to please. And I've been fortunate enough to be in that kitchen. That kitchen is larger than some of the apartments I've lived in over this time.
Yeah.
They're going to make for you whatever they can. But their barbecue, they do both pork and chicken. And it is always an excellent choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it doesn't have to be a barbecue restaurant. Again, there are places where it will be a special. It'll be on the plate lunch and only be served once a week, but can be very good in those places.
Like the Snow White, which is a dairy bar that's up in Des Arc, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Once a week, they have barbecue.
My mother's hometown, such a small state. Yeah.
And what's crazy is that barbecue actually inspired the barbecue at Girls Gone Barbecue up in Fayetteville. Dana Neely's a Des Arc girl. She left and moved to Seattle, Washington. And when she came back, she was like, I'm opening this barbecue restaurant. So you've got a Delta barbecue restaurant in the middle of, well, I should say on the east side of Fayetteville there, that is serving up that same smoky, saucy barbecue.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about how you set out on this excursion to do a barbecue book. And there was so much there that now, man, I'm putting it out there because I'm going to force you to do it. Now we're going to get a whole series of books on Arkansas barbecue.
We are. And goodness gracious. So when I finished the Great Arkansas Pie Book, and it published in April of 2023, I thought, okay, I'm going to spend the next 6 months and I'm going to really focus hard and put out a barbecue book and talk about the history and some of the recipes and the folks that have been around forever and the new folks and push it all into one book. I thought I could do this because, I mean, I wrote another slice of Arkansas pie and, you know, photographed it and laid it out in 10 weeks. This should be nothing, right?
Yeah.
Just the research. Just the research that got me started on that book took months. And I thought, well, I'll take a year. Maybe it'll come out in May of 24. And I got to May of 24, and I'm already looking at 500, maybe 600 pages of book already.
Unbelievable. I love, by the way, because you know I'm not only a food nut, I'm also an Arkansas history nerd.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, the old phone book ads for restaurants that you've been posting online. Those are fascinating.
They really just stun me, just what we can find just from that. See, the interest that we have in
food history. And you realize how long the Arkansas barbecue tradition is. I mean,
you're
posting ads from the 1950s of multiple restaurants in the same town.
Yeah.
Advertising pit barbecue, as they called it.
Pit barbecues, big cabinet smoking barbecue. But my resources for what I go and look into have been just widely varied. Phone books are great. Obituaries end up being a big source for me. High school yearbooks. If you go online and you look through these yearbooks, you can see advertisements, and it's a
screen. Yeah, they all had ads in the back. Yeah.
So I can send out there and I can put out an ad, and then somebody say, well, my dad ran that place, and I can get an oral history and I can pull down into that. And that's been great.
Decisions made in Washington affect folks in Arkansas. I'm Alex Thomas, the Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm keeping a close eye on what happens in the nation's capital and how decisions and decision makers impact our state. Take, for instance, the next farm bill. We're connecting you with the policymakers drafting this legislation, as well as the Arkansas farmers vital to this state's economy. I know how much these decisions matter to everyday Arkansans, which is why I'm here in Washington, making sure you stay informed. This kind of coverage is only possible through your support. So consider subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADG now.
But our barbecue history even goes back further and further. Park and Archaeological Park, talks about the history of the Native Americans in that area. And they include a history, or three histories, that is, from the three guys that were traveling along with Hernando de Soto into Arkansas. The great feast that was held there. And this feast by the tribe that was there where Parkin is located today, smoked venison, smoked fish, and their sauces. You can't tell me that's not some form of early barbecue.
Exactly.
Smoking meats has been part of our culture for generations.
Hundreds of years, yeah.
I mean, if you look at...
This would have been in 1541.
Yes. Yeah. What's crazy about it is I've now linked some corollaries. This is going to sound bizarre. I've linked corollaries between what Native Americans were doing there at the time and the progress of sumptuary laws in England and sugared meats. This is probably going to sound a bit out there, but during the time of Mary and Elizabeth in the 16th century, this is when we start getting our sumptuary laws that say, well, you're upper middle class. You can only serve this number of dishes and you can only do this number of things. At the same time that property ownership changes and of all things, hedgerows being planted throughout England to show, okay, commoners cannot go and hunt these lands, so they no longer have access to wild game. You see people of lower economic status moving to villages and to cities, while the rich live out in these lands. They get the wild game, but those commoners are restricted to those that they can raise. So we see our barbecue go to beef and pork. Well, I should say our meat consumption, beef and pork and rabbit and chicken and anything that they can raise themselves. At the same time, you have all of those sugarcane plantations that are becoming, all that sugar is becoming available in England. In fact, Elizabeth's teeth turned black in the later years of her reign because there was sugar in everything. And you look at the menus from that time, you have a sugared meat. You look at the same thing with the hedgerows, and you look at tenant farming in the Arkansas Delta after the Civil War, and you see all of these different communities that change. Tenant farmers have to actually farm all the way up to the back door. They can't raise cattle. They can't raise chicken for meat because chicken is what provides eggs, and that's a major source of protein. But you can raise a hog anywhere, and they can live on the scraps.
Exactly.
You can turn them out in the fields. And this is why we get that rise of Arkansas Delta barbecue. At the same time,
it
was poor folks' food. And barbecue, even into the 20th century. We're only really seeing it becoming an elevated foodstuff in the 21st century. But your sauces out in the Delta are vinegar-based sausage that might be sweetened with sorghum or honey at the time, but they're not very sweet. But if you look at the development in, say, the Arkansas River Valley, you know, you hear about the cattle drives. Well, where did the cows come from? They came from the River Valley. The California cattle drives, where they were driving cows from Arkansas at $5 a head and selling them for $50 a head. We're talking in the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, this time, all these folks driving these cows, they got them from Arkansas. We already had an established cattle settlement, and we had people who were of better means, so the barbecue sauce is thicker, and it is sweeter. And just these corollaries have been amazing to see. And not just the double smoked meats of the Arkansas Ozark, which you can still see at places like Corsi Smoked Meats and Big Springs Trading Post up there.
Which are within a few miles of each other,
by the way,
Big Springs and Corsi, yeah.
Yeah, both technically in the St. Joe community, and the families are friends. They make sure that during the summer months, one or the other of them's open every single day. And they're taking meats, they smoke them once, and they smoke them twice to get that great flavor. Or you look at Lower Arkansas, where both of our families are from.
Right.
And I found this great history of where the beef was smoked so long, not just brisket, but any sort of cuts that they could manage to smoke for a while, and it was pulled like pork. This is where we get the sandwich-style barbecue that some people have told me is like Sam's Club pot barbecue. I'm like, well, where did they get the idea for this? This is a barbecue that has fallen apart so that it can be used on sandwich. And sometimes you put the sauce in there. Crockpots really got the spread of it across in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Mm-hmm. At one point in Arkansas, if you ordered a barbecue sandwich, most places, not places like, say, Blyville, you ended up getting a sandwich that was either beef or pork or chicken. And it was just strings and sauce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that comes out of the Piney Woods with a little bit of Louisiana influence as far as its flavors. So many different barbecue styles just in this one state over the course of time.
And I've always said there is, and this goes for all kinds of food, as you know, there is no one style because we are state in between, which makes Arkansas so fascinating. We're mostly Southern, but we're a bit Midwestern. We're a bit Southwestern. We're this place in between.
We've got a bit of Appalachia. We've got all sorts of different cultures that have come here. It is fascinating to see the pure melting pot.
I remember my dad reminiscing. He was born, by the way, in a poor family in 1924 in Benton, so raised during the Great Depression.
Yes.
And they would go out and camp on the night of July 3rd for the 4th of July. They would smoke, for the 4th of July, a whole goat every year on the banks of the Saline River.
They
would dig
popular.
A pit.
Yeah.
They would do a goat, and he would always have, he said, strawberry pop for the 4th of July. So I remember my mother would always buy strawberries. Soft drinks. She couldn't find goat, but she always bought strawberry soft drinks. But, you know, the famous McLard's in Hot Springs started with goat.
That
was their first meet when they started the restaurant.
When I sat down and talked with Philip McLard, who's the last McLard in the business, he's still with them, even though the ownership has changed. He said, so we didn't do ribs whenever we started. We would get our own hogs in and we would butcher them ourselves. The ribs are the part that we throw to the dogs. They'd leave us alone. There was no meat on those pork ribs. Now, think of how different a pig is today. But goat was extremely popular in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. You get after the Civil War, though, and I reason a lot of this is because there was no goat confederacy. There was no association of goat farmers in Arkansas to push that as a proper meat. Instead, you get the Beef Council and you get the Chicken Federation. And in the 80s, you get this big push, you know, pork, the other white meat. And we simplified what it was that we thought was barbecue at the time, which, you know, it's always been barbecue, but the goat disappeared. There was a lack of interest in it. Some people relegated it as, oh, that's what people in ethnic communities eat. And it's sad that it disappeared because goat barbecue is delicious.
I was going to say the comeback has been precipitated by the growing Hispanic population
in the state where
cabrito, young goat, is a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And getting a cabrito, a barbacoa, a smoked barbacoa. If you go to Southwest Little Rock and you follow your nose, sometimes you might end up in one of these tiny little Mexican restaurants or food trucks and that's a whole nother story that I could spend another book on.
I was going to say, I can see another book coming down the line.
You can dine all of the states of Mexico in Southwest Little Rock, and it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You're also seeing an increase with not just the new innovators, but with the different populations that we have. We have the Marshallese. We have the Indian and Pakistani communities that have started moving into Northwest Arkansas. That whole melting pot idea. I think we're going to see a whole lot more different meats out there.
And I think that's great. And I started to write As always, I'm kind of like your books. What's going to be one column ends up turning into three, and that's kind of what happened here. Because I started to write about your book, and then I went off on a tangent. Because, you know, I feel strongly. I get online, and you've got old-timers, and I'm talking people my age, you know, that'll come on there and say, you know, the old style Jones and Craig's is better than these newfangled places. And then the young people say, no, you know, Wright's is the bomb, which it is, or Nightfire. And I said, they're not the same category. You can't, let's quit fighting and let's enjoy it all. The urban craft barbecue, as I call it, which tends to be more of a Texas style with brisket and all. It's been a wonderful to see these places popping up. But they're very different than the old-style Delta barbecue places.
They can be.
They're all smoked meats, but let's be glad, like you said, we're in this barbecue explosion. Quit pitting them against each other and enjoy all of it.
And you've got some places that are trying to make a connection in between them, too, particularly Brothers Barbecue, the Rob Nelson and Alex Glass's new place up in Bentonville. So Rob
is no Ken. We're both Nelsons, and our first name both starts with R, but he is one of my favorite food people in the state, as I point out.
So he's been researching barbecue for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably the one person in the state right now who might have a bit deeper span than I do. Now, Rob's education he's a classically trained French chef in addition to all the other hats that he wears, but he sought out to figure out what authentic Ozark barbecue is. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what he's doing combines the double smoke methods with the Ozarks. He's got some hints of Delta smoked barbecue in his menu, but he's trying new things. He's doing a double fired barbecue too. And of all crazy things, he's taken some of that barbecue fat And he's got a bar program up there where they're infusing the bourbon and the vodka with smoked meats and smoked bacon, and it's insane.
Everyone loves a good place to eat, and few things are more discouraging than spending good money on a bad meal. I'm Eric Harrison, and I write for the Style section at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Knowing where to go, what to try, and how much you'll shell out go a long way toward making sure readers find the experience they are looking for rather than paying for big disappointment. Help us create a marketplace where consumers can rely on reviews and make informed choices by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADGnow.
But you've got other places like Ridgewood Brothers, which I love Ridgewood Brothers so much. They're on the cover of my book. They are a couple of guys out of Russellville. Grew up in 1991, which is, I had to point out to them that was the year I arrived at Arkansas Tech. And here they are, very young boys that their backyards adjoined, and they became lifetime friends. And after their first set of careers, they moved back to Russellville, and they started with catering, and then they moved up to food truck and finally opened their brick and mortar in November of 23. And what they do every day, they keep innovating and innovating, but they keep going back to their roots too. So you get the collards, and you also get the Arkansas rice grits from Ralston Farms on the sides. And they're taking and making their own beef sausages. They'll smoke. You know, we had an expression back in decades ago that they smoke anything but their shoes. For them, it means it's something entirely different, but I bet they do it.
Yeah.
It's great to see. Another one I need to point out, Salty Dalties. That's Dalton Crystal's place over in Morrilton. It's a one-man operation. He's open on Friday and Sunday for religious reasons. He's not open on Friday. He's one of the very few purveyors in the state. He doesn't serve any pork because it's against his religious upbringing. But he served me the other day one of the best armadillo eggs, and one that I could actually enjoy, a high-grade turkey bacon, which sounds terrible, but I don't know where he found this. It's hard to determine from real bacon. He takes beef sausage, and he stuffs it with the jalapeno, which is itself stuffed with the cheese. And it's a classic example. He's doing a great job with this sort of thing. Everywhere you go, you've got all these places that are one way or the other, or they're both. And you can still walk into some place like Lindsay's Hospitality House in North Little Rock, and you can get pretty much any any barbecue meat that you want. Or the other morning I had breakfast at Sweet Papa's Cafe, which is the home
the
of
old white
the
pig.
Old White Pig.
The Old White Pig, which was one of my favorite.
Oh, my
the
goodness.
The old sign is still one of the photos atop my blog because that was one of my favorite
it's
signs in the state.
It's a sign of barbecue. And and I went in there and my partner, Grav, and I had
the
breakfast.
The walls are infused in that place.
You smell it the moment you walk in. But we had breakfast burritos. He had the pork. I had the brisket that was from the smokehouse. And I'm all here for a barbecue breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm all here for a barbecue car wash, too.
absolutely. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, L&Y Downing CrossFit, where they'll do the full detail. And, you know, they didn't plan to start a car wash, but people kept coming in after they opened this old service station and said, so when are you going to open up your car wash? And so they did. And when Hunter and I, my kid and I, went down there and checking it out, we went in and we ordered our plates. And like, you're going to get a detail, too. And I'm like, well, how about a car wash? And so they washed the car while we're sitting there eating our barbecue chicken and ribs and having a fine old time.
I had to go down to South Arkansas doing some lithium research, but I had a couple of people with me on Saturday. And as we're going down I told them, when you're talking car wash and barbecue, you'll appreciate this. I told them there's one of my favorite signs in the state, and that's the big sign that says Farrandale Liquor and Boots. As you know, been there for years. I said, what an Arkansas combination. Buy a pair of boots and get your liquor. But I said, I'm going to go with you one better since we're going way down in Lafayette County. And this is in a little farming crossroads called Gin City, right above the Louisiana line.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've been there or not, Kat, but it's Gin City Cafe and Ag Parts.
Yeah.
And I thought, only in Arkansas.
Saw
so it's
but
good.
I've
had their plate lunch. You've got to go.
Got to give it a shot.
And they've got three or four tables in there, and you're surrounded by agricultural parts, a part for your tractor or whatever.
What's crazy
that you'll come in and buy at the same time you're eating lunch.
To get down there, you passed by, you went through Fordyce, I tell you.
Oh, yeah,
So you passed by Red's.
Yep.
And Red's, I mean, if you don't want barbecue, get the catfish. You don't want the catfish, you get a sandwich.
We actually stopped for breakfast at Red's,
gosh.
So you know.
Red's
on Friday.
Is fabulous and great pie, too. And then, of course, you might have actually seen the food truck out there along the way down for Mortuary. Food truck.
I wanted to stop at Red's. You'll appreciate this. I wanted to stop at Red's in Fordyce, I told him. I said, because that's one of the places I can get bologna with my eggs.
Yes.
And one of the guys with me, you'll like this, he said, he was native Arkansas. He said, as my grandmother would say, that bologna had a good scald on it because it had the black marks all on it. I want you to appreciate that. It has a good scald on it.
Oh, my God. There's a place called Joe T's Barbecue that is outside of Conway.
And I've been to that one.
He's got a food truck. He started up in last year, which about a fifth of the barbecue places started up in 2024 that are on the book. It's insane. But he's got a really good smoked bologna, and he'll post a picture of it every time he pulls one out, and he's got it scored. So it looks kind of like a chessboard, and it's pulled open, and that smoke just goes in. You can see where the smoke ring goes in. It's like, that's fabulous. Smoked bologna is making a comeback.
Yeah,
you're seeing it
in
a lot more places. You cannot go anywhere in West Memphis without a smoked bologna sandwich being on the menu.
Right.
It's good to see. And then there's new trends, like of all things in Little Rock, particularly, you know, south side of the river, actual Little Rock. There's a series of food trucks, both soul food and regular barbecue, that are serving smoked turkey legs that they stuff. They stuff them with dressing, or they stuff them with macaroni and cheese. And this has just become hot. I mean, we trace it back to a place. Strangely enough, they're out of Jonesboro, a H2Q barbecue. They're now the vendor for Arkansas State University's Convocation Center. But they started serving that at the 2018 Arkansas State Fair, and it just took off like gangbusters around here in Little Rock. So, it's another specialty. And that's where you get with barbecue. It seems on the surface, it's going to be very homogenous. You're going to get your beef, your pork, your chicken. It's going to be smoked with wood. It's going to have X, Y, or Z sauce. But the spectrum, barbecue is a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where you go, you have an opportunity to enjoy barbecue in every one of Arkansas' 75 counties. And in so many different ways, from so many different personalities, because it takes a personality to smoke barbecue. It absolutely does.
So how did you make the decision? I mean, you become the pie expert. You become the dairy bar expert. Why barbecue? Why was that your next big thing?
Well, I thought it was going to be your next big thing. So during the pandemic.
Three columns a week are kind of keeping me busy here. Yeah,
oh, yeah. The
paper,
oh,
and
yeah.
Podcast. And go ahead.
So I had a whole list of things before the pandemic broke out that I was going to tackle. And I'm probably still going to go back and do a book on catfish in Arkansas and do a book on cheese dip. But barbecue is something people have asked me about all the time. Yep. And you find the crossover between barbecue and pie, barbecue and dairy bars. Barbecue is absolutely everywhere. But I held off because a few years back, I was told you were doing a book, and I kept seeing posts about barbecue, and I'm like, well, I know that Rex takes people out into the Delta for this barbecue tour, but maybe
so
I'll hold
on. Give away for charitable auctions,
And so Rex and I were talking at the Pie Festival a couple of years ago, and he's like, I'm not doing a book on barbecue. I'm like, okay. And I was working on the Great Arkansas Pie book, and I'd sit down to interview Rob Nelson for his Arkansas Possum Pie at Tuscan Trotter, and he talks about, oh, there's all this barbecue research he's doing. I'm like, oh, he got to
it first.
I felt by that point I really had invested the idea of I wanted to do more on barbecue. And so I contacted Rob and I said, look, let me be a consultant on your book. You know, I'd like to go and show you some places I know. And he comes back, I'm not doing a book on barbecue. I'm opening a restaurant. And I'm like, is there anyone else you know who might be writing a book on barbecue in Arkansas? And Rob's like, no, you need to do it. And I'm like, yes, sir.
So here we are.
And there's more stuff coming down the way. And as we talk
about.
So
you think there's going to end up, this is the first one. There's going to be three or four?
There's going to be at least four. Probably four.
Oh,
I'm working on number two and number three at the same time. Now, the first one.
Choose the classics, right?
Choose the classics. Okay. It's Arkansas Barbecue Classics. And as I go along, I keep finding more and more and more and more. It's going to turn into another 500-page book. Trying to winnow it down to get the basics in there, if nothing else. But I'm also at the same time working
You're
on
like
book.
Robert Caro and Lyndon Johnson. It just never ends, you know.
Never does.
He's been writing about Johnson his whole life, and he's 90 now and still writing. Yeah,
yeah, well, you know, when you got a good topic, you just keep going with it. So book two or three, I don't know which of these will come out first. I'll make a decision probably in about 2 months on it. I'm doing interviews with the women in Arkansas barbecue because there are so many women pitmasters out there. We don't think about it. Barbecues always seem to have been a male-dominated enterprise. All the major...
You do think of it as male.
Yeah, because women were in the kitchen, men were at the smoker. But you've got so many. And you start off with people like... you've got Judy and Jenny out there at HB's Barbecue. This is a woman-run business that got me to thinking, because that was one that was cited, oh, this is the only woman enterprise in barbecue in Arkansas, as somebody told me. And I'm like... I don't think so. So you've got Dana Neely up at Girls Gone Barbecue in Fayetteville. She's the one who's from Des Arc. She's also the one that introduced vegan barbecue, which I know some people are going, oh, the heresy of it. But she's looking at people who have alpha gall because she has alpha gall. So she's smoking soy curls. First time I've been into a soy curl sandwich that she did, I swore it was pulled pork. It scared the heck out of me.
Yeah.
To see the lion's mane and stuff they have up in, at OZ Smokehouse and Rogers, too. I mean, this is just something that's happening. But you also look at people like Susie Powell down at Hoots Barbecue, who manages one of the best barbecue restaurants in the Lower Delta.
And that parking lot's going to be full regardless of when you drive by there on US 65. Yeah.
And so you look at people like
it's worth the drive.
Susan down at Mad to Me Barbecue Shack down in El Dorado just starting out. But it's just determined I'm going to get that out there. I found 40 different women now that are working as pit masters in Arkansas. And I feel they're owed their due. And along the way, I'm still gathering more because the fourth book will be about our innovators in 21st century barbecue and how it's changed. Because you've got the Rob Nelsons, you've got the Steve Reeds, you've got the Jordan Knight and the Jordan Wright, and you've got all these other individuals like Seth up at Oh, at Truman, and the name just went right.
Oh, at Big O's.
At Ray's Roadshack.
Big O's. Yeah, Truman's.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And Big O's is crazy.
In Harrisburg. I was thinking that same area, but Truman, yeah.
And
yeah,
Brian Ronnie up there at Ronnieville Ray's Smokers. Yep. Oh my gosh, there's so many of these young innovators who have come on the scene like a wildfire. And not only are they doing their own thing, but they are communally raising the impact of barbecue in Arkansas. They're elevating it. Sometimes it's a little, as we call it, high as a cat's back when you go to some of these places.
Yeah.
But then you try the product and you're like, It was worth it. I didn't look at barbecue that way before. And we're going to see more like, if you go up to even established places like Blyville, where you've got your Dixie Pig and your Cream Castle and Yanks, and then you've got Southern Unorthodox, which every day has something new on the menu. From a young man who grew up on the same road as the Halsels and as the Wallaces and the Johns, and just taking it to the next level. We have so much to celebrate. And this this is all pushing off the inevitable real threat to my health, which is the book that I've promised to write after this on gas station cuisine.
I love it. All right. I knew this would go way too fast, so it's the inevitable end of the show is what this is. But Kat, if they want number one, the Arkansas Barbecue Traveler, quick ad, how do you find the book?
You can head to ArkansasBBQTraveler.com, or it's available anywhere that you find books. I do highly suggest you support your local bookstores like Wordsworth Books in Little Rock, Bookish in Fort Smith, and other places that carry great Arkansas authors.
All right. Kat Robinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.